this passage because it's a passage that has meant a lot to me personally over the years. And I just think it's a wonderful piece of scripture. And it's a prophetic message which was given by Isaiah some 700 years before Jesus was born. Is this mic working okay? Sounds a bit okay. Remarkably, for a period in its history, some 100 years after Isaiah himself had actually died. But I believe it's also clearly a message for us today as it speaks into two of the most significant issues of our time. And those issues are our identity, that's who we are, and our security, how safe we are. Firstly, about identity, who we are, is a subject of much debate in these days. It's maybe about our nationality. For example, are we British? Or are we English? Are we Europeans? Or given the globalization of the world, are we just citizens of the world? Or about gender, it's no longer sufficient to have male or female in tick box forms. Or about how we relate to one another. Family is such a broad term these days. It's not just about blood ties, but it can leave many feeling isolated and unclear where they fit in. And that goes for the rise of social media and the way, for example, that Facebook can suggest we have hundreds of friends, but they are unlikely to be the sorts of friendships that we might have had previously. People we can actually talk to and share with. People we can rely on to be with us when difficult things happen. So that's identity. And then security, how safe we feel. We talk, for example, about job security, the huge rise in zero-hour contracts where you don't know from one day to the next whether you will actually get the work from the orders you're hoping will come in. And the media is constantly telling us about security on the streets, about the increase in knife crime, violence. There's the apparent randomness of terrorists that cause mayhem for people going about their daily business, whether they're on a tube journey, sitting in a restaurant, or even attending a place of worship. And of course, we're still recovering economically from the banking crisis, which you may recall was in 2008. The Chancellor announced in October last year that austerity is now over. But try telling that to the 4.5 million children who are under the poverty line, or anyone in public authorities still having to make cuts to services in order to make the books balance. And what of our world? Is the environment safe? There are so many apocalyptic predictions about the disintegration of the environment if we don't dramatically change the way we live. So issues of identity and security, they are all around us, and they can cause, and probably as I'm mentioning these things this morning, they may be causing all sorts of reactions in us, maybe fear, even despair, confusion, bewilderment, powerlessness, perhaps anger, or just cynicism. But the good news is that God wants to speak directly into those issues today and say to us as his people and encourage those who do not belong to him but need to hear this good news, that just as he did to his people in the Jewish nation all those years ago as regards our identity, this is what God says to you, who created you and formed you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. And as regards our security, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. So let's just think a bit more about identity. As I said, Isaiah is preaching into a situation between 500-600 years before Jesus came, where the Jews had been taken from Jerusalem into Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq, as captives. Jerusalem had been left desolate, and the Jewish people were languishing in Babylon many miles away. The suffering of the Jews in exile had got worse and worse. They weren't even allowed to worship their own God. And if they refused to bow down and worship the king, they will potentially come to a sticky end. These words are there to remind the Jews of their identity, even in the midst of their uncertain and transient history. They were living in a foreign land, amongst a foreign people, and any identity they had in their religion was being denied to them by the Babylonians. God was wanting to remind them that He, Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, had called them by name. He had named them Israel. He'd made a covenant with them, a promise that He had made to their forefather Abraham that would be an everlasting covenant to be God to them and to all their descendants. And He then renewed that promise to Jacob, calling the nation Israel. And it's the covenant name for His people. It's the covenant name that derives from Jacob's wrestle with God, if you remember. It speaks of the bond of life and love that was secured even out of struggle. And what does God call them here? He calls them precious in His sight. Honoured. I love you. And He wants to remind them too that as His people, He has redeemed them. They'd previously gone into exile in Egypt, but God had brought them back, He brought them back, and had forgiven the ways in which they turned their back on Him. They were back in exile, and God wants to remind them that He is the God who redeems. Again, they've returned their back on Him, but in turning again back to Him, He will restore them to the land of Israel. Our name is such a key part of our identity. About a year or so ago, I was walking through a park in North London, not a place I'd normally walk, and all of a sudden I heard behind me these words, Alan, Alan, Alan. I'm surprised, but delighted that someone should know me in such a strange part of the world, you know, in North London. I turned round, and it wasn't someone that I immediately recognised. And then I saw this little black dog running up to him, to which he said, "Good boy, Alan." You can imagine my disappointment. If we could hear God calling us by name, speaking personally of His love to us and for us, and how precious we are to Him, that's something really worth listening out for, isn't it? Something that would help us know who we are, that we are sons and daughters of the King of Kings, the Almighty God. And we know that God is like that. He wants to draw us also because of what Jesus said to us. He talks about being the Good Shepherd, the one who calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. God knows each one of us by name. He calls us by name to follow Him and lead us by name, just as Jesus looked into the tree and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." He calls each of us by name to follow Him. Di shared with me yesterday the French translation of verse 4, which so beautifully captures the essence of how God sees us as well. Please forgive my French. Parce que tu as du prix à mes yeux. You are the prize of my eyes. His eyes are on us. He looks at us with a tender love, a desire for us to honour Him just as He has honoured us, to love Him just as He is loving us. And I pray that today we might hear him in our hearts, calling us by name, each of us, telling us that he loves us with an everlasting love. In her book, God Knows My Name, Beth Redman, who's the wife of Matt Redman, the worship leader, talks about the rejection she experienced from her earthly father. She says that in public, her dad seemed the perfect father. But in private, he struggled with anger. And she talks about the fact that her mum and family suffered terrible violence. Her parents eventually separated, but her father blamed her, Beth, for the breakup, as she had told the leaders at the church where they attended what was going on after it had been a secret for so many years. After Beth had given birth to her third child, she was exhibiting signs of possible liver disease, and the doctors were concerned that they wanted to know if there was any family history of liver disease. So she contacted family members and wrote an email to her father, with whom she'd had only sporadic contact since he'd left home. He wrote back to her immediately and said this to her, "Yes, there was liver disease in the family, and also cancer, and he hoped she would get both." He wrote, "Beth, you deserve to suffer because suffering would make someone as egotistical and vile as you a better person." The email ended with him telling her she was cut out of his will, and he had instructed his solicitor never to disclose his death or where he would be buried. In her book, Beth talks about how she cried out to God. And in that moment, even though her earthly father had forsaken her and erased her from his life, Beth knew that God would never reject her and would never forget her. She experienced a deep and permanent truth covering the whole of her life, that God knows her name. She talks about God as her true and amazing Father, her heavenly Father, her heavenly forever Father, the one who knows all her failures and shortcomings and yet has never rejected her. She said, "My Father in heaven adores me, has plans to prosper me, and supernatural arms to hold me." Our identity comes from him. He is the one who formed us. He is our Father and is in him. It's in him we live and breathe and have our being. And it's this we hold on to in all the uncertainties of identity that I've talked about already, all the uncertainties that we might face in our lives or in the world around us. So what of security? God says to Israel, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you." And in one sense, these are not very reassuring verses, because they talk of the fact that these things will happen. And of course, the nation of Israel knew this. They had faced all sorts of seemingly impossible things in their experience, coming up against the Red Sea when fleeing from Egypt, wandering around the desert for 40 years, hoping they'd find a way to get to the promised land, needing to cross the River Jordan into Canaan. But the point was that they knew from their history that God had been with them at these times and had seen them safely through. And many of you will know the story that was contemporaneous to these words as well, where Nebuchadnezzar, one of the kings of Babylon, threw three Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, into a fiery furnace because they refused to bow down and worship the gold idol that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. The three had said to the king, "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if not, let it be known that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image." Amazingly, as they went into the fiery furnace, the king saw them not consumed, but walking in the midst of the fire. And indeed, he saw four men there, not just the three. And when they came out, the king said to them, "Blessed be your God, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him." See, they knew that God would be with them in the fire, whatever the consequences were, whether they were saved or whether they were consumed. And that was what God was keen to tell the whole nation. You are going through trials and tribulations at the moment. You are in exile. The people have been scattered. You long to get back to Jerusalem, but God has not forgotten you. He is with you. And indeed, after 70 years in exile, the nation was able to return to Jerusalem. I've mentioned the insecurity we may feel because of events in the world around us, but more pressing for many of us is the insecurity in our own personal lives. The loss of a loved one, ill health, redundancy, breakdown in relationships, all sorts of change going on around us. But the same God who spoke to the nation of Israel wants to speak to us today. Whatever the nature of any insecurity in our lives and the fear that often goes with it, as the Message version has it, when you're in over your head, I will be with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you are between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end, because I am God, your personal God, your Saviour. Another occasion when I was out for a walk, this was when I was a teenager, I just had some difficult news about my A-level results, which we won't go into now. And I decided I needed to get out. We were in Cornwall at the time. I was there with my parents, and we were staying by the coast, and I went along the coastal path. I went for a long walk, and it was getting darker in the evening, and I got to the, I don't know, those of you know, the Camel Estuary, and the tide was out, and I decided in my teenage wisdom that because the sand looked really nice and smooth, even though the tide was out, it would be quicker for me to walk from one side of the estuary to the other rather than go all the way around the headland and get back to where we were living that way. Fortunately for me, even though I got to the middle and suddenly found my feet and my legs getting mired in quicksand, fortunately for me, I managed to make it to the other side. Apparently, I mean, just as a word of warning, this is not something recommended. And apparently, it's not the fact that you end up going down into the quicksand, it's just you cannot move, and then the tide comes in, and you get drowned. But I didn't, praise the Lord. I have to say, when I got into the middle and suddenly realized I wasn't able to move so easily, I was sort of wondering, well, where next do you put your feet? You know, what do you do now? I can't really go back. I need to go forward. And I was all a bit panicky. And I did pray, and God was with me in that moment. I think sometimes when we're in the midst of these difficult times, we don't know where to put our next step, as it were. Maybe the tide's coming back in and we're concerned and panicking because we can see it's going to be a difficult time for us. And I recognize that for some of us going through difficult times, you'd love me to say that God will just sort them out instantaneously for us. And whilst I believe he can or he might, it might take some time. And it just needs often God to help us to know what the next step is, and the next step, and the next step. But for all of that time, knowing that he is with us. I believe I just want to speak truth to us this morning, that God is there. Even if we don't feel that in the moment, even if we're panicking in the moment, God is there and he does care for us. And we often have to surrender these situations and keep surrendering them to God because we can't work it out on our own. But God is with you. He is the Emmanuel God. He came and he lived amongst us in human form. He knows what it's like to feel the pain, the rejection, the suffering. He knows and he cares. Whatever the headlines, whatever the uncertainty around us in our world and in our lives, whatever the difficult circumstances we find ourselves in relation to our identity and our security, God's word today is, I formed you, I have called you by name, You are the prize of my eyes. I will be with you. Thanks be to God.